I had an epiphany at work this week.
Yay.
So when I was working as one of the advisors for the School of Sacred Ministries, which something inside me utterly, completely hated the entire fucking time. I don't know why I did it.
All right.
When I realized that everybody else on that circle was working to actually keep the school going and I was cheering for it to go down the tubes because I just didn't want to do it another minute.
I see.
It was like, I really need to leave. Like, it just, that's what got me. I was like, I got to go.
Oh.
It hit me about that at work today, or this week. I'm like,
oh, that same insight. You mean
every time I see like just insanity and stuff not working, I'm like, yes, I'm rooting for it to fall apart. I'm doing my job as best I know how. I'm not doing any weird covert shit, but yeah. I'm rooting for it to fail at every turn.
Wow,
it pleases me when I see like shit coming apart.
Hmm.
I don't belong there.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, baby steps. You know, soon you'll be feeling that way about life.
That's how I feel. Like, that's how I feel.
That's a good thing. It's just that it's not that enjoyable for it seems
yeah.
like if you're still kind of like
yeah.
toggling mm. back and forth imaginarily between your shitty life.
Yeah.
And whatever, you know, the absence of your, I don't know, right? The
shitty life sangha.
The present, I don't know, whatever.
I don't know.
Not relating to this through human
yeah.
terms.
That's right.
But it's like, well, it's beneficial to want this to end because you don't really want, you just want that part of it to end. You want that human aspect that sucks.
Mm.
That framing.
The framing.
The framing, you want that to end.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it sucks.
Yeah. Well, yes. It's a video game, right? And
you can't do anything and nothing's going to end.
Yeah, it's just a video game. And your character, you know, at this level, right, is supposed to see that it sucks. Yeah. It doesn't actually suck, but it doesn't actually not suck. It's just that your character in the video game at this particular level is designed to feel the way that you feel right about now. That's it. I mean, that could be intimidating to some and really relieving to others. Look, if I take pride, which I do, in the way that I feel and the way that I think, the way that I observe, the way that I perceive, and then what it is I think I need to do about everything, then I'm just a clearly deluded character in the video game. Because I'm taking what is appearing as so-called my experience seriously enough that something's got to change.
Sorry to interrupt you, but my little character is wondering
yes.
if you can use that water. The sink water or no?
I'm drinking it.
I just boiled it in the thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know if we can or not. If we all get sick, then we'll be.
No, it's. I don't think it has chloroform in it.
I fixed it, yeah, from whatever that before thing was where you said we did like all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, water's probably better for you than public water.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with some minerals.
Right. Yeah, the painful part is thinking you're supposed to do something about it. You shouldn't be feeling this way, or if you just did it right, you wouldn't have to feel this way. That's what hurts.
Well, okay, so how weird would this be if every plausible comment I can make about my experience was scripted by a programmer.
Yeah, but
I'm the last to know. Like
right.
presently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if the puppet sees the, you know, terrible humor in being a puppet at present, okay.
What can the string master do?
What can you do? I mean, you're like, oh, it's just a video game. And all along, I thought I was thinking and I thought I was feeling. And I had opinions and strong emotions and things to do and not to do and things to avoid and ways to manipulate people and persons and events so I could, you know, get through the maze of my own imagination. And it's never been anything other than that, including right now. Exactly what you're thinking, what you're feeling, how you express it, either to yourself or out loud, is like just pure puppetry. Nice. Then the seriousness of having had a spiritual revelation in the shower, or, you know, practicing the jhanas, or insisting on getting free by virtue of Buddhist path or pathology, or Hindu path or pathology, non-dual path or pathology, you're like, what? What? So perhaps nothing is taken sufficiently seriously in your puppet consciousness, my puppet consciousness. I relent to the fact that I'm not capable of having an original idea. Presently, here, right now. Like this one, and now this one, and now this one. I'm not capable of, call it independent or individualistic observation, objectivity, at all. I'd be like, cool.
I don't know what that would be like. I mean, if it doesn't have any behavioral or consequential, it doesn't do anything, then I have no idea. I don't know. It doesn't do like anything. Doesn't actually mean anything. That's the frustrating part, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, if we're wired, or let's say we are puppets, talking about our wiring, I find myself, you know, motivated by former suffering, present suffering, the imaginary bracing against future suffering, what's going my way, the clinging to what's going my way, the defensiveness and the defendedness to maintain status quo if it's working for me, or to avoid it at all costs if it's not working for me. The whole thing is appearing absolutely impersonally by, let's say, some improvisational cosmic script that I have absolutely no agency or power to change.
You don't even have to like it?
You don't even have to like it. But you see, the burden of self, if to the extent that the burden of self is made out of the presumption of agency, the presumption of power and choice and will, the presumption of creating, then suffering and disappointment will accompany it. Because one's, let's say, interests and lusts of all kinds Well done.
This is lusty enough for me. I stole some whipped cream from you.
Oh, awesome. Whipped cream.
What are they doing with whipped cream?
So the children's whipped cream.
Wow. So jealous.
More where that came from.
You gotta get a leg up wherever you can find
them.
While you are sinking in puppet hell, if there's whipped cream, break it out.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You have to steal, just frame it as borrowing.
Just, I swear I'll give you whipped cream back. To the extent that the burden of self is constructed of memory, will, presumption of individuation, body, mind, magical powers, being in possession of magical powers that you can't quite exercise to your satisfaction. Just the frustration of, well, the frustration and the denial of a certain kind of powerlessness.
Yeah.
And the frustration of powerlessness, the denial and the frustration of powerlessness can and does easily make us angry or whatever, you know, reflex and acting in or acting out, we feel like doing. I've seen it, I mean, in myself, of course, and you know, at fellowship at a 12-step meeting in Los Angeles, kind of playfully talking about having no control, no power. And someone also at the lovely fellowship meeting went into a rage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oops.
From what you said...
Yeah.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
You go, Jeff.
I almost lost my head. So I have, in order to commit myself, you know, to a path of ultimate spiritual well-being through some means, I have to presume so much about experiencing consciousness, time, space, body, self, prior experience, what it is I think I know, what it is I know I think, so that I have a trajectory to get out of what I imagine is some kind of suffering that I could perhaps be responsible for or held accountable for. And there is no such thing. So if the, you know, for instance, the Buddhism suggests that in order for you to be enlightened, whatever that means, that you have to use, let's say, the purification of the jhanas or jhanic mana so that you are unperturbed by torpor and sloth and sensual desire and doubt and whatever the five, you know, hindrances are. So the jhanas give you an alternate form of a sourcing or bliss that are so profound and so subtle that they can alleviate the attracting force of the five hindrances. And by being now unafflicted by the appearance of the world, then your job is to apply whatever insight means or mindfulness might mean in that condition to penetrate the mystery and have your rightful asan under the Bodhi tree next to our dear Lord Gautama. Well, you're fucked. Because now the video game has got you again. Because you think Buddhism means something. Or whatever the Buddha might have discovered under the Bodhi tree after a successful, you know, pissing match with Mara. is something that you would could possibly benefit from. And so now you are aroused, you know, once again, as a creature with former suffering, present suffering, hell-bent on the avoidance of future suffering, and then this particular path, and we can, of course, replace Buddhism with 1,000 other things, right? Is the path to follow for alleviation and future fulfillment. And this is a puppet talking. Shit. Shit, fuck. So out of, you know, affection, unrequited affection, you know, maybe you're inspired to reach out and go, no, it's not like that, right? No, it's not like that at all. I mean, not even a little bit. There was no Buddha, though there was a Buddha. There is no enlightenment, though there is enlightenment. There are jhanas, but there are no jhanas. There's just nothing at all to apply yourself to because you're in a video arcade.
There's a Buddha in the window in the fitness center across the street from my house. I walked by today. I'm like, oh yeah, he would be working out. Of course. That's totally what he would be doing. He'd be working on his body.
The Buddha would be working on his body. Six-pack Buddha.
Oh, shit.
So there's, there's nothing at all, but that doesn't mean you can't draw some pithy comparisons between, you know, one set of nothing and another set of nothing. You see, we launch into corporeal certainty, corporeal sustainability, without permission. There's not to get on the free will or no free will bandwagon, because that can become, you know, kind of, well, a little distracting. But the fundamental itch, let's say, of whether you are presently occupying space, time as a body, mind, with a history of disappointment and an urgency to be disappointed less. If that's occurring, if that's your profound orientation, that is not of your own doing. You didn't sign up to be a creature in space-time out of free will. And you don't see through the oasis or the mirage of free will by virtue of free will, by virtue of anything. So as serendipitous, let's say, or alluring as mindfulness is and ayahuasca is and Advaitaism is and being free of the false sense of authorship, or noticing, or traveling lighter, or doing one of several of Scott Killaby's so-called theories, doling them out like, you know, a shell game. You're like, wait, no, all of that's illusory. The entirety of the video game and one's sensorial commitment or sensorial certainty is just, yeah, no, that's not happening. Not by denial, you know? Not by neti-neti. Just like, yeah, no, this isn't happening, sorry. I'm just not buying. I'm not lifting another finger to play Mr. Videohead. And it's not like you put your foot down you know, or are recalcitrant, reticent. It's very, can I say, internal, but that, you know, smells of external, and there's neither internal nor external, right? The curious ability to put down the video game is a causal. It's outside the realm. It's from outside the realm. Yeah. So this is a realm, right? Sensuality and biologicalism and being a constellation of 60, God knows, trillion some odd cells, and being a host for microscopic bugs having intercourse on your face. You know, you're like, okay, it's just a constellation of life forms at various, right, various wave functions of size and, right, applicability. And yet, this constellation, which is clearly not mine because it's not just one thing, though the whatever the fuck this is one thing, the constellation of what we call the body is countless waveforms, many of which are, you know, working together, you could say consciously or by nature, harmonically, like your, you know, gut and a healthy bowel, right? Or a healthy mouth flora and fauna. And then there's a whole, you could say, multiple populations of creatures that are comprising what you call yourself that are not necessarily interested in your well-being. You're being hosted. You're a host and being feasted upon, aerobically and anaerobically.
Not to mention in this video game.
Not to mention in the video mm-hmm. game. That's right. We're being feasted upon in the broader sense of good evening in the video game. Even though that is, can we say, observable or discernible, or one is capable of elucidating it poetically or otherwise, still our default is to insist upon, you know, independent and individualized existence and imbued with self-will.
Gotta be my fault.
Well, it's some...
If it is, then I might have a little control.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Now,
it's Jamie's fault.
Definitely Jamie's fault.
Start with Jamie. Yeah, it goes downhill from there. All right, so one's routine or default consciousness, you could say, enjoys or suffers from such a profundity of hubris that it dare not, you know, see what it's made of. And so if, you know, anyone or anything threatens this titanic hubris, well, my reflex is to deflect, right? To defend and deflect. Find clever ways of making myself right again, and your well wishes or constructive criticisms irrelevant, unworthy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was some of that wall that I was talking about on our Tuesday night call. Hitting that wall. It's the presumption of, you know, time, space, birth, life, suffering, family, stuff, gender, color of skin, retirement, on and on and on and on, is so seductive. It has such a, you could say, oomph, inertial oomph, that I am a product of it, right? Without willful accommodation. I'm an involuntary product of this remarkable palette.
The thing is, you get stuck with your hand in the door and the car is on its way and you're flopping against the road the whole time. And you're still staying there. You still stay with it. You still believe it. It's like, this has to be real. Because it's so dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's right. It is. Yeah. There's a woof. I mean, to really come clean, you know, and I don't mean in the way that, you know, some encounter groups encourage coming clean. I'm just not interested, right, in anyone's particular...
That's one of the steps, right? One of the 12 steps.
God, save it. Please, no sharing permitted. You know what I mean? Because everyone's
thinking human.
Because everyone's insane. Everyone's a constellation of, you know, competing microscopic urgencies, and you're not going to be successful trying to use the jhanas or some other means to become unavailable to lust. It's just not going to work. I mean, this. Fucking A, Bubba, this is the Kali Yuga. You know, if you even read a little bit of, you know, Vedanta, you'd realize, yeah, no, you don't purify in the Kali Yuga. It's not going to happen. You have to get smarter. You have to be more efficient. So, all right. Now, if you're a Hindu, what they mean by being smarter and efficient is, well, you do a little more bhakti. You do a little more kirtan. You know, you purify through affection, through devotion. Because the other ways of purifying, let's say through discrimination or, you know, Raja Yoga, well, yeah, that doesn't work in the Kali Yuga. There's too much distraction in the, you know, the cosmic atmosphere. Brahma day, Brahma night, dot, dot, dot. I'm done singing. I sang. I did. I fucking sang. I clanged and I strummed and I sang and I clanged and I strummed and I sang and I wept and I was in tune and more often out of tune and I sang and I'm just fucking
The world
done.
Is so much better for it.
I'm just fucking done with singing. I'm glad Krishna Das sings and Jai Utal sings and other people sing and that's good. But fucking done singing.
I suppose a little fire ceremony is out of the question.
Fire's good. Fire's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Fire's good. Fire and inebriants. That's all that's left. So if you know, move down the road far enough to come face to face with the gnarly frustration of being yourself over and over and over and over again, involuntarily, then you're ready. You're just about ripe for, you know, the miracle of puppetry. Otherwise, you're an asshole.
That too.
You're just a self-serving, prideful, hubris-filled asshole that just won't say, I don't know. I give up. I fucking give up. All right, okay. And no one can take that pride from you, nor should they. But still, you know, you try to reach across the chasm. You try to reach across, you know, membranes and lend a hand to someone that might have, you know, the power of discernment or the power of passion or the power of whatever to, you know, wake up a little more deeply, but you can't help them. You can't help them. You want to help them, but you can't help them. And if you try too hard, well, that's intrusive. That's just another form of, you know, Hollywoodism. Though non-sexual, of course. Yeah, so, you know, you have to be, well, you have to be a little light on your feet to to feel this, just feel the, you know, feel it. Like, oh my God, I'm just a puppet. It's, I mean, Davy and Goliath were better off than me. And they were puppets. Animated marionettes. Gumby and Pokey had more will than I do. More self-will than I do. Gumby and fucking Pokey had more self-will than I do. I'm fresh out. Shit.
We'll see how Tuesday works out. And you're, what is that, at noon or some weird time that meetup?
Oh my God, yeah, who is the meetup at noon on a Tuesday? There's only three of you going. That's going to be great. And there are two women. So you are
this nasty. Tuesday you're doing an online meetup? Or is it meetup at
well, I'm going to someone's house with only two other women signed up so far.
Ooh.
Torment them.
Whose house?
That was kind of the reason I wanted to go. It looked like a nice house on Street Road. And I thought, I'd like to see a nice house on Street Road. You know? I mean, if in a even if it cost me $10. I'd like to see your beautiful home. Here's my $10. And then we can meta-create.
Oh, it's somebody else's meetup.
Oh, yes. It's someone else's meetup. Just around the corner. I corresponded with the woman.
We'll bail you if you need it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I don't come out in 10 minutes. Yeah. You know, bring in the SWAT team, yeah.
No,
oh, let's see.
I kept thinking, Metacreate, dance to the music.
Metacreate, dance to the music. I like it. Celebrate, dance to the music. Is that Sly?
Wave Traveler.
No, not Sly and Finn. Who was that? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
mother, sister... Right? So, yeah. Yes? No?
Really?
I don't know. That, we need someone to... Someone has to fucking Google it.
Oh.
All right. Metacreate, dance to the music.
Well, good luck with that.
Thanks so much.
I hope you create really great things.
I'm hoping. I'm just, you know... I'm at my wit's end.
A lot of money when you do this.
I'm at my wit's end, and I don't know what to do. So metacreate. Well, here's my 10. Let's metacreate.
This could be the magic answer.
I'm hoping it will be the magic key. Yeah. Right. For nothing at all. For Mr. Puppethead. So, Mr. Puppethead, what will you be doing? Oh, I'm going to a meetup. Because I'm not Mr. Puppethead. I have self-will. I'm in charge of how I feel and how I think and how I'm organizing my thoughts and my moods, my stomach flora and fauna. I'm in charge. I know what to do at every turn where there's affliction.
I'm the master of my feet.
I am the master of my domain.
Of course, I have no idea who I is.
No. No.
Suspicion is not what I always thought it was.
We don't necessarily intuit the dignity of the cessation of self-will. We see or anticipate the cessation of self-will as being giving up or losing, you know, not trying hard enough, long enough to get what it is we think we want.
Societally, it seemingly the feedback that you get is
it's not the company
difficult.
Mission, you know.
Yes, that's right. And the invitation, if liberation is even remotely possible or anything at all, and that's suspect. But if it were, you could say we've worked the self-will angle to our great satisfaction up till this point. So having done that with aplomb, we can see what the fruits of it have been. And the fruits of it are your miserable soul. So it's like, yeah.
Well, plus yeah. societally, if you look at it, it's...
right. Whew. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I mean, here I am. I don't have to travel all that far, certainly not to the Himalayas, though I have. Certainly not to Dakshineswar, though I have. Certainly not to, you know, Ramanashramam, though I have, to see, right, the frivolity of my own willfulness. Here it is. Oh, shit. What the fuck? I've been self-willing this motherfucker as hard as I can for as long as I can remember, and look where it's brought me. Fuck. So, why not take a wild risk? You know, put on your squirrel suit and leap from a high place. With or without shoot, doesn't matter. Because you're going to be crushed no matter what.
I just want the squirrel suit.
Yeah. Leap from a high place and just play around with the relinquishment of self-will. Just play with it, that's all. No big commitment necessary. And, yeah, I mean, that's that. Right, if I come up with a complaint, self-will. If I come up with an explanation, self-will. If I come up with a genesis pattern, cosmology, self-will. If I pretend to know what this is or what to do about it, self-will. I mean, folks, come on. It's so near. It's so near. That for some strange reason, our own nirvana eludes us by being so near. The imagination of distance, of practice, purification, ardency, screws it up. And the Buddhism and the Hinduism and the Jainism and the Judeo-Christianism and the Islamism and the ism and the ism and the isms and the isms of the isms all pander to and contribute to the myth of this being unearnable. What the fuck? How did this... Excuse me? Orientation of the slightest imposition is the floodgate of conceiving, the floodgate of reference, the floodgate of self and time. And the impulse or reflex of orientation is impersonal. And that's the best you can do. Really. Simply to be face to face in present experience, whatever that might suggest to you, I don't know. that the reflex of orientation arises impersonally.
But it quickly becomes personal, right? I mean, the reflex itself, I don't know what that is.
Well, that whatever it is, that...
But my orientation seems intensely personal.
They're the same.
What's the same?
Orienting is that. Orienting at all is the self, is personal.
Yeah.
They're the same.
That's what makes the self.
It's not a thing begets a thing. The slightest hint of orienting at all to anything is the genesis of self.
Your previous statement that the reflex to orient is impersonal.
Yes. That orientation arises in or as you is not your doing.
Yeah. But the orientation itself is it's an orientation of what to what, right? Or of who to what, or of what, yeah.
Fill in the blank.
Right.
Right. Fill in the blank. So, what's the yoga then? It's the simplest yoga, and it's stronger than the jhanas. I'll bust those Buddhists. It's stronger than the jhanas. It's stronger than you name it. It's the strongest yoga. I'm a little, you know, I can get on a soapbox. It's the strongest yoga. What is it? Simply see that the reflex of orientation is arising impersonally. That's it. That's it. If I defend, I've gone too far, right? If I reject, if I resist, if I defend, if I equate, if I explain, right? I've gone too far. You're already too far. That's how good we are at defending. The heart of the yoga is to simply see that the present reflex of orientation is occurring impersonally, non-volitionally. And yet, I'm so excited to see that I'm not doing it.
It's a crack in the shell.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Right? Let's hope so. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a useful yoga. If there's not a crack in the shell, discard it. I mean, here, look. Experiencing is out of this, literally out of this world, or not of a world. I'm not sure if I'm happy or scared out of my mind. Oh my God. But if the reflex to orient is seen through, undefended, then this is incomprehensible. Who cares about liberation now? You couldn't invest in the imagination of a greater freedom than this one. You couldn't, because that's all downstream of reference. So the jhanas, I'm banging on those for whatever reason, but any of this stuff, all of these remedies, I don't care who's selling the remedy. Adyashantiism, Byron Katieism, ism, all of these remedial hypnoses are downstream of the fundamental yogic insight, which is the reflex to comprehend, the reflex to orient is arising impersonally, improvisationally, involuntarily. Now. That's it. Okay. All right.
It is what it is.
It is, right? It is what it is. And I'm not sure what it is. But I don't, but the reflex to defend, it's gone.
Yeah.
The reflex to defend my condition, my suffering, my ardency, my purification journey, and the destination, it's gone. Know that you can take
that's no different than any other.
Every and anything that's arising in what you or I might refer to as my or this consciousness, it's video central, man. Look at the next thought. Look at the next sensation. Look at the next emotion. Look at the next imagination. Look at the next justification. Look at the next explanation. Look at the next commitment to do a thing about a thing. I mean, look, it's fountaining up. It's just appearing. And yet we insist on taking ownership of it as I thought, I felt, I decided. It is not possible. Just look at it occurring at present. When did you decide? You didn't. You did not decide. You did not make a choice. You were not given a set of options and then went for one. You are arising improvisationally, spontaneously, impersonally, involuntarily. In all respects.
So your decision is a construct after the fact. I guess you can say it that way.
Clear as day? Clear as day? I mean, what I say doesn't can't mean anything. Right? The discovery, if there is one, is yours to make. Here's your laboratory. I mean, you've got your past, so-called, you know, as part of your laboratory, but it's completely unreliable. Your past is just being presently imagined. So you can't derive much from it. So your real laboratory is like, well, how about now? How about now? And now? Now's good. Here we are again. Well, now.
The past does seem to have some part to play in that one can sort of look back and say, if I was making decisions, I wouldn't have done those things that I decided to do.
Okay.
So I think I decided that I supposedly decided to do. So where's the fallacy here? You know, the fallacy is, I was just doing what I was doing.
The fallacy is that you're simply imagining what you refer to as the past is just a presently appearing riff of imagination. There is no past. There wasn't one. There's no present. So it's not likely you're going to create the imagination of a past from prior presences. You see, it's the myth of presuming that there's a present, well, that I can stack up the past. There is no past. There's only, right, the present imagination through reference, memory, commitment, emotion of what you, of your construction of the past. There's no past. I'm not denying the memory, the magic of conjuring a past, but there's no actual past, just like there's no actual present. But later on, you can look back and go, oh yeah, I was in the past. In the past, I was in the past, but I'm in the present now. No, you're not.
I would respond, but that would be a response to just a memory of A Fig Newton of my imagination.
Sir, it's just a Fig Newton of our imagination.
No one brought any Fig Newton.
To get very intimate with the, I'll call it an observation, but it's not quite that, that this is arising spontaneously, impersonally, improvisationally, involuntarily, of its own accord. That's the yoga. That's enough. So that the whole field of imagination, which is really all you're left with, can't mean anything to you.
You know, I want to say this. I'm, you know, lacking words, of course. You know, this energy or this conduit or this whatever it is that takes this into being, so to speak.
You know? Yes.
That seems to be the whole nine yards. I mean, for reality, the so-called reality.
Go first down. 10 yards. First down. It doesn't quit.
I mean, this improvisation is a conjuring act. But who's conjuring? You know, it's just conjuring based on whatever there is going on.
Even, of course, you see, once you even refer to it as a conjuring act, now you want to find out the author. It's not a conjuring act. It's not really a conjuring act. You see the value system you have to supply subtly. To be comfortable referring to it as a conjuring act, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So once you've named this, even spiritually adept, hey, it's a conjuring act, right? I mean, the Sri Ranjit Maharaj said, it's a dream. Get that. Still, there's the error of referring to it as anything. Because if you refer to it as anything, dream, conjuring act, on and on and on and on, well, now who's the author? No. It's authorless. It's acausal. And referential mind, synonymous with self, is made out of, right, the confidence of causality, the confidence of authorship, the confidence of prior to, the confidence of whatever this was before it big banged, and then what it is now. Conjured, 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 conjured. Orientation, yes, it's orientation. Let's go back to yoga number one. There is no yoga number two. Yoga number one. See the reflex to orient presently arising improvisationally, impersonally, involuntarily, right? Whatever the hell the other thing is, doesn't matter. That's it. Then you're like, ah, 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 ah. Then, right, any definition. So what we call self depends upon, is made of, apparitionally, only apparitionally, of the magical, call it capacity, the magical, mysterious, mystical evocation of orientation. Ha, 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 Mr. Puppet Guy. Ha, ha. See that clearly enough, as best you can, from day to day, from moment to moment, from lifetime to lifetime. Who gives a fuck? And it will wipe you clean.
You can see it every morning when you wake up. The first thing, you know, you wake up and there's, I don't know, if you travel a lot, it's like, all right, where am I? Or like,
oh,
you know,
if you
what
sleep
day
in your bed
it?
On the opposite direction,
really?
It'll fuck you up. I swear to God, try it. Just
wow.
The other direction.
Oh, that's horrible.
You have no idea. You're like, where the fuck am I? You'll like reach for shit because you assume you're like still on the same side. Yeah. Like your whole orientation is completely.
You go to the bathroom and you're peeing on the porch.
You're in the closet.
Wait, where's the toilet? I'm peeing. Shit. What? Oh, I'm in the wrong place. Yeah, simple.
Something that simple, really.
Just
like,
that simple.
You're like, Jesus.
That's right. Put your head over here.
My nightstand isn't there.
Yeah, everything is just, all fucked up.
Are you playing 69 with Fred again?
Oh,
get that dog to move. Keep your...
I'm lucky he sleeps on his own bed now. He won't even snuggle with me.
Oh. Yeah, well, they do
even
grow up after a while.
Even like me anymore. Stuck with just bugs.
Even dog decoupling is a healthy thing.
Just bugs, so you said?
Yeah.
You and your bugs?
Well, everyone's got bugs all over them.
Oh, okay.
So,
you've been reading too much again.
That's the only thing I got.
That's all I got.
Bug friends.
Me and my insects strolling down Fifth Avenue.
But there's no trying, it seems. Any trying.
Go on. No trying.
Any trying brings about the whole thing again. So,
well, the trying itself is an outgassing of having oriented and then applying oneself in some way.
So to see.
Yes, to see.
Is not necessarily trying.
No.
I mean, it is not trying.
No, it's not. Yeah, not trying.
But to see sure seems like a goal. You know what I mean?
Well, yes, because the default orientation is temporal. And so there's a here, then there's a there, and there's a from here to there, which is the myth, presently arising myth of temporality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, this is the end game. But I refuse it. Again, not voluntarily, not by choice. I refuse the revelation that this is the end game. So I must apply or try or go in search of or use exotic tools to get to where I really think I need to be, which, of course, is other than here, other than now.
I just don't want to stop negotiating.
Yeah.
The mad hanging.
Yeah. That was the frustration. That was the fun, for me, kind of fun and heartbreaking encounter with our friend from Tuesday night. Was, to witness the reflex to go back into orientation. To insist on a self that is capable of self-accusing, I'm not there yet. Right? And you're like, where?
Where?
Right? See? Yes? Right? When you see more clearly that this is conscripted, you what? Who? Where? But if you don't see it yet and you still have whatever karmic, momentum you imagine you have, then you self-accuse and say, I'm not there yet. So that now you're free to apply yourself to your path of purification. So that you can be enlightened someday. Okay. Yeah, we want, again, this is, you know, impersonal. We want to remain in the game through the, the dispatching of orientation. I love to orient. That makes me me. And that's true. Orientation does indeed lend itself, contribute to the apparition of you being you. And the invitation is, don't stop orienting, because that's not possible. Really. Let orientation, leave it alone. You see, if I take delivery of the orientation, if I'm prideful of the orientation, if I insist on the orientation, now I'm in denial of liberating revelation. Okay, fine. Fine. You don't have to stop orienting. It's not your business. Let it orient. What? You're a puppet. You're in a video game. Whatever you think next is not you. Whatever you feel next is not you. Whatever you think about the way you feel and feel about the way you think is not you. It's not arising volitionally. That it's arising is only arising apparitionally, and it's not you. The simple maturity to see, oh my God, I really am arising improvisationally and involuntarily. I'm so freaked out. Or I'm so happy that I'm seeing presently my own effulgence not being of my own accord. Oh, wow. Wow. Then, that's seeing through. My goodness. I mean, fuck. Whatever it is that might be tickling the five senses, or arousing, right, referential mind, or, right, appearing sensorially or imaginatively. Awe, right? So all that remains of you is awe. Non-objective, non-subjective, acausal. What? Folks that want to get enlightened, you're like, I'm sorry. Really, you're, you know, like, oh, I'm sorry.
Almost like, no, you don't.
You really, no, don't do, no, don't. Don't want to get enlightened. Don't do it. I'm so sorry. Because it's too, right? You're too late. You've drunk the Kool-Aid of somebody else's so-called system, yeah. Someone else's cosmology. You've drunk the Kool-Aid, and you've turned that ism, that cosmology, into a field of authoritarianism that you are now going to apply yourself to. You're like, no, don't put that down. Just trust me, put it down. But they won't. They can't. They won't, and they can't. You can bring all the sincerity and all the tears and all the right artfulness and heartfulness of your passion and pathos to their feet, and they won't put it down.
They'll just form an attribution.
That's what we have. That's why this business is so, well, I mean, it's kind of fun. It's kind of strange. It's definitely shamanic. It's definitely alchemical. There's no question about it. Because you're not replacing the myth and inertia of cosmology with some other cosmology.
Some better cosmology.
Yes. You're not replacing whatever cosmology you think you're benefiting or suffering from with an alternate cosmology. No, because yoga number one, simple as can be, see that you are presently arising impersonally and involuntarily. Like, that freaks me out, but that might even be a little bit true.
Well, everything's so assumed. So,
yes.
I mean, so whenever anybody comes here or whenever there's the least getting close to the whole illusion of the whole thing.
Yes.
And the, or let's say the revolution, if there can be such a thing as the revelation of the illusion.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's immediately defining perspective. This way, that way.
Yes.
Well, what do you mean when you say this? And what do you mean when you say that?
You're a master craftsman when it comes to that. Yes.
Yeah, but the fact is, the fact is.
Yes, I'm listening.
That I see it in everybody that comes by.
Sure. There's an epidemic of stupidity.
But nobody knows. Nobody knows that's a thing.
No. Well, there's stupidity. There's stupidity and there's bliss. Right. And ignorance is bliss, they say.
What is an assumption makes an ass
out of you and me.
Assumption or something like
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Look what we're up against. You want to speak to the extent that you can, to the extent that you have some passion, some whatever. And you feel motivated, inspired to try to articulate just how fucked up and how fucking weird this is. And yet your audience is like, what?
This is crazy.
You're like, what business am I in? I'd be better off selling insurance.
Yeah. And they're walking away.
You can't give this shit away.
You can't give it away. Oh, God. It's in a weird way, it's fun, but it's also a little unnerving, right? It's
lonely.
Well, can be. When someone passes through and you don't want to snow them. You don't want to do a come along. You don't want to take their money. You don't want to offer a cosmology. You don't want to make any promises. You don't want to smooth anything over. You're just like, hey, there's a really, really simple yoga. One posture.
Nobody's gonna buy it.
And you don't even have to do anything with your body. Nobody. One posture. See that present experience is arising involuntarily. That's it, man. Go from there. Yeah. That's freedom. That's or the gate or the wormhole or it itself. And even freedom becomes ridiculous.
Freedom's just a cat.
And what we used to call my frustrating and unsatisfying present experience is now. Because the hubris of orientation and the hubris of reference has, right, gone into effortless abeyance. And I'm not, nor is anyone promising anyone a better day. Right? There's no promise of a better day. There's no day. Suffer it however you feel like. Enjoy it however you feel like. I mean, here, count up all the suffering and the enjoyment you've done over the course of your entire life, and, well, here you are now. Where is it? Where is it? Where's the equation of you? It's imagined.
Stories just run rampant. They just run
for sure. Yeah, I mean, you're right. We're loaded. The archive is intense.
Yeah.
On demand. Yeah, the archive can be intense, but it's just an archive and it's not your archive. Are we capable? Are we interested? Are we curious? To feel whatever there is presently to feel without being a product of former experience? Without convincing myself that I'm the product of former experience? That's bold. And agreeably unnerving. That's why it's a shamanic alchemy. Yeah. The lead doesn't come back. When you turn lead into gold, it doesn't. The lead's gone. Right?
Well, maybe that's the scary part.
Well, sure it is. That, yeah.
That's the grasping. Oh,
yes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did I get everything out of this lead that I wanted to get out of?
That's one, yeah, one way. Right. I won't be lead anymore. I'll be gold.
Boy, I like that double meaning there. Sounds like a song. I won't be lead anymore.
Yeah.
The ring out of my nose, no phone.
I won't be Led Zeppelin anymore. Jeez. Being relieved of the reflex to have to derive anything from present experience. To be accountable, to be responsible, to show up, to get anything, to get anywhere, to be relevant, noticed, right. It'll drive you mad, and it's a relief. It's not possible to predict, you know, how a sincere aspirant moves, right, from moment to moment or day to day. And this for sure creeps up on you, since it's been involuntary all this time, were there any, that you were you, and that it's involuntary that you start getting a break from being you, the credit is owed to whom?
God.
Fine. God or LRH?
Ultimate wisdom.
Ultimate wisdom, LRH. Tom, Jenna, Willow, Kirsty. What, if anything, remains as one's, let's say, mind becomes quiescent, as the reflex of becoming or the reflex of reification or of justification becomes quiescent? What do you actually find in present experience if the narrative has gone silent?
Patterns.
A lot of space.
Yeah.
To me, that's unthinkable.
Of course it is.
But I, my, you know, my, there's this feeling that this bolus of physical energy, but not physical, you know, is too consuming, and it won't let rest come, and it won't let relaxation come.
So I can wake you up every morning.
What's that?
Wake you up every morning, no matter what.
Well, throughout the night.
So,
are you the age-old question: what to do about it?
I mean, are you referring to the naked, unadorned apparition of, right? Call it energetic sensuality, or are you referring to narrative? And I'm not necessarily trying to make those two things.
Yeah, I mean, sure, yeah, you know, narrative has a lot to do with it, but whether the narrative comes first or second, it seems to me that it comes second. You know, it's
yes. The primacy, to be a little daring, the primacy is that which is felt.
Right.
The narrative, right, is an accoutrement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Now, so
somehow that maybe they...
So the constriction... Right?
Yeah.
Is the constriction, are you associating the value proposition, which I'm not demeaning, with the unadorned sensation or with the narrative?
I don't know. It's a block. I mean, there's this bolus of something that's a block. And it's right. Energetic on its own somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess
it's
an enticement. Oh, because you know it feels consuming. That's I mean it's all psychology and stuff.
Maybe we appreciate that there's a psychological, psychosomatic, psycho-emotional right wave that accompanies
right.
The unadorned, right? The unadorned presence. But the value proposition of being either a block or consuming or interfering with your sleep, right? Yeah. Is some mysterious force waking you up? Is something... there that's annoying.
It's an annoying force. I don't know how mysterious it feels because I've personalized it so much.
Yeah. I know it so well. It's not that mysterious anymore, but it sure as fuck is annoying. Well, that's true for most of us, I think. Yeah. Well, so here you are in the so-called waking state. Is it present?
The physical effects of it are present. I mean, I definitely feel it in my neck.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, so you're feeling somatic.
Yeah.
What you're referring to as block, uh-huh. Right? So okay. there's a density.
Yeah.
Maybe it is felt as either pain or limitation in rotation or...
just tension, yeah.
Yeah, right. The non-specific tension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does seem like so much of it is somaticized. You know what I mean?
Well, this is very
part of the same.
This is quite profound, even in its unprofound way, and it somaticizes, right? There's no delay. It somaticizes as itself instantaneously. Yeah. Yeah. You know, in whether it's Goenka style or Thai forest or other, you know, call it orthodox vipassana tradition practice, which is an extension of jhana, definitely an extension of jhana. Stillness, breath, awareness, anapanasati, sometimes I mix up the Pali and the Sanskrit. I might be saying, where's the bathroom, thinking I'm saying some kind of spiritual thing. I'm that silly. Yeah, so in those schools, you know, the goal is you tough out the flame, heat, the tapas of constriction. And some people have reported miraculous healings, miraculous insight, because, you know, they've baked themselves off. Other people blow out their limbs and have psychotic breaks. And there was a suicide not long ago from someone that tipped the scales, you know, on a Guenca retreat and didn't get the assistance that she required. Right. So let's just say there are some risks associated with the bake-off, right? Vipassana as a bake-off. He laughs like Vincent Price. Yeah.
Have you heard that?
yeah, but I don't know. You know, whatever the fuck. Yeah. Kundalini, yoga, craniosacral therapy. You know, you do what you need to do or whatever to work out the kinks, you know, work out the heat. This is heat. Yeah, this is tapas.
The old forms of solace don't serve anymore, so...
Yes, you know. Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Which is, again, you know, the blessing-curse thing. Yes. Yeah, right. The solace or solace that we were able to rely upon from time to time is like, oh, man, that there's just no juice there anymore. Yeah.
Nothing. None of that
stuff. I can't get a break from this or myself with, you know, former means of self-soothing. Yeah, it's true. That's another reason it's threatening. The shamanic alchemy is threatening because the safe houses go. Yeah. Oh, shit. Well, it's all in, you know. I mean, as flexible, rubbery, elastic as reality is, it also has this all-in this all-in line in the sand kind of thing. So it's like very, 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 more than very, very forgiving, and you are so fucked.
That's what people do themselves in. Like that, they think that's the only way out. Like,
could, yeah.
Like, I get why people would just, I'm out of here. I doubt it would be even hard, so... As well stay.
Yeah. You'll negotiate with your suicide counselor if and when the time comes. Certainly, we certainly don't want to be promoting anything that even smells a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Then the people with the pitchforks come, yeah.
Toggling the mass grave site at Del Valle.
Yeah.
But I would venture to say that's because they entertain only what can be entertained, right? They're only considering everything that's in this world, and they haven't considered that everything that's in this world is a limit. You know that it's has nothing to do with everything that's in this world or in this mind or whatever.
Whether they continue living or don't is as involuntary as every other goddamn thing or God blessed thing, depending on how you wanna frame it.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, being a product of self, product of body, birth, mind, space, time, et cetera, is just so wearisome.
Oh, yeah.
and sometimes it's absolutely glorious.
Absolutely.
Absolutely what?
Glorious.
Glorious?
It's like, yeah. It's like killer glorious.
Did you see the moon tonight? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Did you see the sun this morning?
Oh, hell no.
I was wearing my red glasses because I'm like, man, this guy is amazing. I better put on my glasses and really get a little more of it. And the sun was coming out, but it was behind the trees, and it was like this big. Mm. It was huge because it was just barely coming up behind the tree.
Mm.
Wow.
When the compulsion of subject and the thirst for objects relaxes,
well, after a while, you know, you push and you push and you push, and it's like, okay. But it's involuntary, this relaxation of the push.
Yes.
It would seem.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know who I am, what effect I have, what I is at all, to think that I have some control.
No. Right. Well, having a conversation like this one more than once is a bad sign. Really, it is. It is. If you slip in here once and get out, smart move. But if you find yourself wanting to have this conversation more than once, you're really in deep trouble.
It's indicative of being in deep trouble.
It really is.
You've been doing it for years. You're so screwed.
Oh, you're so fucked. Yeah, you're such a drunk.
You can't relate to anybody anymore.
No.
It turns out. I could just be like normal. Yeah, like, no.
No. Yeah, if you spent.
Who wants that?
Every once in a while, you know.
If you find yourself after a time having been here, you know, for like a little while, well, you really need a meeting. But this is the only one to come to. It's terrible. If only you could go to like a 12-step meeting to say like, hi, like, oh, I've been to inquiry like more than once.
Oh.
Dude.
Wow.
Yeah. You have to
come right away.
You can check out anytime you like.
Las cucarachas entran, pero no puedan salir. Well, I mean, no credit to myself or anybody else. That's just the way this rolls. It's really just the way this rolls. If you get the bug and, you know, you charted a course for the farthest shore, then, hey, you know, you're gonna end up meeting some curious people and having some curious experiences and some really strange conversations, none of which can be meaningfully repeated. Then that's going to become like a staple. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Blame it on your saga daughter or something.